And I want to welcome you to the I Want to Know More podcast for this third week of June 2024. On the podcast today, we are going to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter number 16. 1 Chronicles chapter number 16. Out of all the books in the Old Testament, I'm afraid that 1 and 2 Chronicles are some of the least studied because for the most part, it's full of lists of names, especially 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles has a bunch of names, especially in the first 9 chapters, genealogies and such. But there's a lot more in there. There's the contrast between God's way and man's way. And man's way is illustrated best by the 4 books of the Kings, that is 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings. And God's way is more illustrated by 1 and 2 Chronicles. And so we're looking at God's way. And here in the 16th chapter of 1 Chronicles, we're definitely looking at what God's way was in bringing the ark into Jerusalem. And so having said that, here's the podcast for this third week of June 2024. All right, 1 Chronicles, chapter number 16. 1 Chronicles, chapter number 16. We're going to begin reading with verse number 1, and we're going to read a lot. So, 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse number 1. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph the chief, and next to him Zechariah, Jael and Shemiramoth, and Jehiel and Mattathiah, and Eliab and Benaiah, and Obed-Edom and Jael with psalteries and with harps. But Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaiah also and Jehaziel the priest with trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. We're going to stop there for just a moment. This is a psalm that is going to sound very familiar, and that's because it's made up of several other psalms. Portions of other psalms are found within this psalm, and I leave it to your exercise. I leave it to your homework to determine what psalms are, or what sections are from what psalm. See if you can find them. I leave it to your exercise. I thought about doing a chart and listing over it and saying, I believe it would be fruitful for you to take that as your own exercise. All right. To see what those are. All right. Let's rewind and restart back at verse 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Verse 8 starts the psalm. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when ye were but few, even a few and strangers in it. And when they went from nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another people. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Shew forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor in it are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. And let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is in therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, forever and ever. And all the people said, amen, and praised the Lord. So he left there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, Asaph and his brethren, to minister before the ark continually, as every day's work required. And Obed-Edom with their brethren, 80. Obed-Edom also the son of Jeduthun, and Hosa to be porters. And Zadok the priest, and his brethren the priests, before the tabernacle of the Lord, in the high place that was at Gibeon, to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord upon the altar of the burnt offering continually morning and evening, and to do according to all that is written in the law of the Lord, which he commanded Israel. And with them, Heman and Jeduthun, and the rest that were chosen, who were expressed by name, to give thanks to the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. And with them, Heman and Jeduthun, with trumpets and cymbals, for those that should make a sound, and with musical instruments of God. And the sons of Jeduthun were porters. And all the people departed, every man to his house, and David returned to bless his house. Okay, now there's a lot of scripture there, and we're not going to go over in detail over every word of that, especially the word of that psalm. I will make mention, again, as I said beforehand, this psalm actually is echoed in several of the psalms in the book of Psalms. And so this psalm here is, you could consider it as a medley of psalms. And, you know, some of my favorite singing is when it's medleys, when you have multiple songs worked together into a medley of songs. That's, happens pretty commonly. More than not, it'll happen with special songs like Christmas songs or Easter songs. I remember several, groups doing medleys of songs. And I've seen that myself, here at Macedonia years ago. We put a medley together of some songs, and it would be sung. You'd sing a verse of the song and a chorus of a different song. I guess the one my favorite is the verses of The Old Rugged Cross and the chorus of If That Isn't Love. And you'd put them in the same key. They work well together in the same key. And so, instead of the chorus of The Old Rugged Cross, sing a chorus of If That Isn't Love, and maybe only do it at the last chorus. I don't know. There's several ways of doing it, but that's called a medley. And David here has put together a medley of his psalms into a single psalm, and he delivers that, and that's kind of a sampling. It's a sampler of the Psalter. Giving thanks to the Lord. And there's some common themes that you'll see throughout the Psalms found here in this Psalm. And so different pieces of this you'll find in different Psalms. And again, I encourage you to see if you can put the medley together. If you can find the different Psalms that David has put together and put the medley in. And notice what parts he's included and what parts he hasn't. And what's around the parts he's included. You know, that's the way I would study it. If I were going into great detail in this particular psalm that's a medley. And you know, I might in the future. I don't know. But it's not where I'm going today. That's not what the Lord wants me to look at today. What I need to look at today is the fact that this is the day of organization of the priests and the singers and the porters and all them that have already been expressed by name earlier in the book of 1 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 6 in particular. And then later there's going to be other expressions of names of the priests what priests were in what courses and what was being done. The books of the Chronicles is a list of the deeds of particular kings. And those deeds are not necessarily in chronological order. They're in a storytelling order. And so, you know, the chronology within 1st and 2nd Chronicles is very difficult to ferret out. It really is. It's pretty difficult to figure out exactly the chronology here. But that's not the purpose of the books of the Chronicles. The Chronicles are not history books. They're not biographies. They're books of the stories of the deeds of these kings of Judah. That's what the books of the Chronicles are. And of course, in the Jewish Bible, it's a single book. The book of the Chronicles. And it's the last book in the writings. The law, the prophets, and the writings in the book of Chronicles comes at the very last. And that's why Christ can refer to a saying from righteous Abel even unto Zechariah whom ye slew in the courts of the temple. That happens in 2 Chronicles. And so that is at the very end. And he's saying from the beginning, from Genesis to Chronicles. And that would be the first to the last. Throughout the Old Testament is what he's saying. And so in our King James Bible, the order's different, and that's okay. That's okay. It's a little different. We would say from Genesis to Malachi. But the Jewish Bible is in a different order. But this book of Chronicles, this book of 1 Chronicles, shows how David set it up. And this is the event that was when David set it up. I can just see him sitting at a table and he starts assigning people different tasks and assigning things. And after they brought the ark in, they had an organizational meeting. And the ark is now in its tent, but the brazen altar is at the high place at Gibeon. They're separated. The presence of God is separated from his sanctuary. And it won't be reunited until Solomon makes a house. Now, 1 Chronicles records the very next deed of David is to tell Nathan the prophet, I dwell in a house of cedars. I need a house for the Lord. And at first, Nathan is all for it and says, oh, that'll be great. That'll be great. And then God appears to Nathan and says, well, wait a minute. You're a prophet. You're supposed to consult with me before you give an answer. This is something that God is not going to allow David to do. God's not going to allow David to do it, but he is going to allow his son. And he is going to allow David to prepare for it. David didn't get to build the house, but he did get to give the pattern and prepare for it. And he even says at the end of 1 Chronicles, he says, I have prepared with all my might. That means he's put every penny he can. In our language, we would say, you put every penny to save towards something. Well, David put every penny he could towards the building of the temple. And he saved a huge amount. We're going to go into that. Into what David actually saved for the temple and what he did. And this is where the books of the Chronicles and the books of the Kings diverge so dramatically in recording what David was like in his last days. Of course, The two books of Samuel and the two books of the Kings, collectively the four books of the Kings, or the books of the Kings, records more of man's way and how things looked like from man's point of view. And from man's point of view, David became frail. He became not much of a man in the eyes of the world. But he was busy preparing for a future day when the house of God could be built. And First Chronicles records those preparations. First Chronicles does not record the shame and disgrace of some of the things that the books of the Kings records about David in his last days. Especially the insurgency of Adonijah. Again, check up with me on this. As you study the two in parallel, make careful note of what First Chronicles and Second Chronicles records versus what the books of the Kings records. And you'll see real quickly that we see two very different pictures of David. Very different pictures of David in his last days. And so David is so busy preparing for the temple that the things of this world fade from him, and he becomes less of a man in the sight of his of the people around him, especially his general Joab, his own son Adonijah. There's some things happens, and there's insurgencies against him. The first, the insurgency of Absalom, which was a successful one. David was thrown out of his own house. And then he comes back. Absalom is destroyed, and David is tore up about it. And again, in the eyes of the world, that's weak. But then Adonijah comes along and says, my father ain't much of a man anymore. It's time for a real man to take this kingdom. At least that's the back story. The Bible doesn't come out in those exact words and say it. But as you study this section, it is very insightful to see the differences between what the books of the Kings records and what the books of the Chronicles records. And so I encourage you to do your studies that way and to look at them that way, because they are different. They do record different events. They do record differences in the events that they record. And this taking the ark in tells us something very important, and that is that the high place in Gibeon still had the brazen altar. Now, the brazen altar and the Ark of the Covenant had been separated for quite some time. Ever since the destruction of the house of God at Shiloh. The first chapter of the book of 1 Samuel calls it a temple now. It does. It says in the temple. This is not the temple of Solomon. This is the house that they built for the tabernacle at Shiloh. And then when Shiloh was destroyed, the tabernacle with the brazen altar and other items must have been rescued and taken elsewhere by someone. Levites, I would assume, they would have taken the sanctuary when they saw that things were going in, but the house that had stood around it was destroyed. And this is referred to in the book of Jeremiah. It is. It's referred to in the book of Jeremiah. And the priests of Jeremiah's days got so angry, because what Jeremiah was effectively doing was he was effectively saying, look, Eli and his sons were so wicked that Shiloh was destroyed. And now this place can be destroyed too. He's implying that they're wicked. And I find it very interesting that Samuel, a prophet, who was a Levite, he was of the sons of Korah. This is clear in 1 Chronicles chapter 6. You can see it. Compare genealogies with genealogies. Go look at the genealogy and lineage of Samuel found in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And compare it to the lineage of Shemuel found in 1 Chronicles chapter 6. And you'll find that there's a high likelihood that this Shemuel, the grandfather of Heman, the son of Joel, was indeed the prophet Samuel. the genealogy is just too much alike, even though there's a lot of repeated names. And the name Elkanah was very common in that family. It just was. It's like the names John, Robert, and James in the Owen family. Every generation you'll find a Robert Owen and a James Owen and a John Owen. And there's a bunch of them. I've gone back through my genealogy all the way back to where my ancestors came over from the old world. And there's names that are very often repeated. William is another one that's repeated a lot in the Owen family. And so, you know, I can't even remember how many John Owens there are. There's a bunch of them to be found in my Owen lineage. Just a very common name, very common. Elkanah, Zuff, some of the others are also likewise very common names, and they're found throughout the genealogy of Samuel. But you'll find that this was that Samuel. He was of the sons of Korah, a Levite. Jeremiah was actually one of the priestly line himself. And he was a Levite as well. And here a Levite is prophesying the doom of Jerusalem, just like with Shiloh, echoing the fact that Samuel was there before the destruction of Shiloh, and that's where he grew up. There's some parallels between Jeremiah and Samuel here. But here we have the start of a parallel study of the book of Kings and are the books of the Kings and the books of the Chronicles. They do parallel, but they cover different things because they have different purposes. Man's way versus God's way. And it was God's way to split up this, for now, to split up the tabernacle. It's going to get reunited, but it's got to wait till Solomon's day to become reunited. And that's going to be a fantastic day. It's going to be a great day when Solomon fulfills that role and builds and dedicates that temple. And the temple sacrifices start up in the temple of the Lord there at Jerusalem, replacing the temple that had been at Shiloh. We're going to pick up some more about this next week as the Lord might lead. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast today. The I Want to Know More podcast is a ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please write Lamar Owen, Post Office Box 212, that's P.O. Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. And the Lord willing, we'll see you here again next time on the I Want to Know More podcast.